Good morning. It's good to see everybody out this morning. We appreciate the presence of each one. If you're visiting with us, we certainly appreciate you've come our way. I'm a substitute preacher this morning, so don't expect a whole lot. Recall the first time that I was asked to preach after I became a Christian. And I went to an older preacher and I asked him, I said, what makes a good preacher? And he said, he thought a minute, and he said, preach the word and preach 30 minutes. And so, since that time, I've tried to be a good preacher. I'd like this morning to take us back to a spring day to begin with in the early 1960s at the University of Florida football practice. Anyone who's played football or has coached football knows that at the end of practices you do wind sprints. Normally, they're 40-yard wind sprints. And at the University of Florida at this particular point in time, coach was named Ray Graves, and he would have all the linemen line up and do 40-yard wind sprints, and he would have all the backs line up and do 40-yard wind sprints. And a defensive tackle by the name of Jack Katz won every wind sprint with the linemen. So after about 2 weeks, Jack Katz went up to Coach Ray Graves and he said, Look, I'd like to run with the backs. And Coach thought a minute and said, all right, if you want to run with the backs, run with the backs. So for the next 2 weeks, Ray ran with the backs and he lost every time. So finally, Coach Graves went up to him and said, look, Jack, you've been losing every time. Wouldn't you rather run with the linemen and win? And Jack Katz looked at him and said, Coach, I know I can beat the linemen, but I'm out here to get better. And if you've noticed, I've been losing by a little less each day. Now, there's a lesson in that attitude for all of us. And that lesson is, it's learning to lose without abandoning the effort for a greater gain. Learning to lose without abandoning the effort for a greater gain. You know, in Acts 14, verses 21 and 22, Paul and Barnabas strengthened the disciples in Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. You know how Paul did this? He told them, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Now, I'll tell you what, I've never thought about that being a way to encourage the brethren. But that's what Paul and Barnabas went out. They said, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 10, 34 through 38. And I'd like to read those verses to us. Jesus put it this way. He said, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves me son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. In life, we are going to be faced with choices that cause us loss of aspects of life. But we have to lose in order to find our life. It's sort of a disjointed thought when you think about it. To find something, you have to lose something first. And Jesus says to find life, you have to lose. And we're going to be faced with a lot of losses in our life, losses of aspects of living that we really desire or that we really want. Consider the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. This rich young ruler came to Jesus and asked what he had to do to have eternal life. And Jesus says, if you want to enter eternal life, you must keep the commandments. And the rich young ruler asked, which ones? And Jesus said, don't commit murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the rich young ruler replied, well, I do all these things. And Jesus responded, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be complete, that is, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And the rich young ruler, faced with the loss of all of his material wealth, turned and walked away. He did not want to lose his material possessions. That cross was too much for him to bear. And so he abandoned the effort to serve our Lord. Now, I tell you, brethren, I often think about this. The disciples of Jesus Christ thought that what Jesus said to this rich young ruler was extreme. And it really was. I mean, you think about it. For one second, suppose you were faced with that decision. Everything you own, your house, your car, your furniture, your savings, your IRAs, your annuities, your 400, whatever they call them anymore, I'm not real sure. But you lose everything in order to follow Jesus Christ. It's a hard decision. It would be a very, very difficult decision. Francis Quarles, an English poet who lived from 1592 to 1644, once wrote, as there is no worldly gain without some loss, so there is no worldly loss without some gain. If thou art degraded from thy honor, thou art likewise faced free from the stroke of envy. If sickness hath blurred thy beauty and hath delivered thee from pride, set the allowance against the loss, and thou shalt not find loss great. And therein, I think, is the answer. Set the allowance against the loss. When we lose whatever we consider important or necessary in our lives, we need to understand, we need to appreciate, and we need to accept the allowances that are set against that which we have to give up. With many tribulations, Paul said to the disciples, you must enter the kingdom of God. And you know, Paul gives us the allowances that are set against those tribulations. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And let's read verses 3, 4, and 5. Romans chapter 5. Paul writes, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Paul says we glory in our tribulations. I can't imagine the rich young ruler thinking about it in that way. But that is the truth. When we set our loss, to set the allowances against our losses for the cause of Jesus Christ, we need to glory in those tribulations, because the perspective that we have as Christ followers, when we suffer tribulations, is the knowledge that we are developing other characteristics. We are developing perseverance. We are developing a character that looks to hope, and that hope does not disappoint. We learn to endure with that perspective. We develop a character that looks beyond the life here, because we have a hope that does not disappoint. It's a hope in something greater. Consider Job for a minute. We read in verse 1 that Job was a man that was blameless, upright, and fearing God. And Job suffered horrible loss after loss after loss. He lost all of his material blessings. He lost his family. He lost his friends. And yet, In chapter 23, verses 10 through 12, Job could say, speaking about God, "But he knows the way that I take. When he tests me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Brethren, perseverance, character, and hope. That which Job expressed here must be capable of standing firm upon its feet in the world of daily work, daily temptation, daily loss. It must bear up to the wear and tear of actual life without abandoning the effort, because we have something greater to gain. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I came that they," his sheep, "might have life and might have it abundantly." Well, what life are you talking about, Jesus? He says in Luke 12:23, "For life is more than food and body more than clothing." For God's people, the hope we have is not a wish. It is a real expectation that will not disappoint. It is the window by which we can see what God has prepared for us. It is that divine treasure house of eternity. And it's hard to understand this, I think, when we're going through affliction. But that hope dawns brightest, my friends, when we are suffering persecution, when we are suffering loss. It is the hope that enables us to get through. On the other hand, the attitude that says, I will not look like a loser to my friends, negates the hope that we have as disciples of Christ. And I'll tell you, it sets us on a path that can and often does cause us to compromise the effort to serve our Lord faithfully. Now, I'm not suggesting to anyone that we should try to be losers just for the sake of being a loser. But I am suggesting that we must be prepared to lose without abandoning the effort to serve Jesus Christ, without compromising our values, our Christian values. We must be prepared to lose because we have something greater to gain. You know, I think of Ezra, and I remember the first 10 verses of chapter 7. And we learn from these verses that Ezra was the son of Seraiah, who was the son of Aaron, the chief priest. And Ezra was ready, it says, a ready scribe in the law of Moses. And then it says in verse 10 that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to live it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Now, Ezra suffered with the others. He was carried away into Babylon. But it says he had prepared his heart. And here is the secret. Here is the kernel that we need to understand in order to suffer loss without abandoning the effort to serve Jesus Christ. We need to prepare our hearts. Now, think about, on the other hand, King Rehoboam, whose life was summarized in 2 Chronicles 22:12-14, where it says that he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. The key to suffering loss without abandoning the effort is to prepare our hearts to serve the Lord. And in the process, we need to learn not to abandon or compromise our discipleship to Jesus Christ. It's incumbent on us, especially in the world in which we live today, to prepare the hearts of our children and our grandchildren to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to be prepared to lose in this world, if necessary, for the cause of Jesus Christ. I raised children. I understand how difficult that is. You know, we often don't want our children to go out there in this world and be embarrassed. But the truth of the matter is, we're not doing them a favor if we compromise to protect them from being embarrassed. We are not doing them any favor because we are not preparing their hearts to seek the Lord. We need to be prepared and say no to ourselves and our children and our grandchildren to the wearing of clothing that is not modest. We have to be prepared to say that to our children and our grandchildren. I know how difficult that can be. I really do. Now, I'm not here to dress anyone. All right? I'm not here to say you can't be fashionable. I mean, one will tell you, I ain't being honest with you, in the interest of full disclosure, fashion has never been one of my strong points. And Juan is helping me. And my daughter she tried to help me, but I ignored her. But I can't ignore Wanda. And so I'm not saying you can't be fashionable. But what I am saying, that you must unite fashion with modesty. And modesty has to be the top priority. It has to be. And we have to prepare the hearts of our children to understand that even though they may want to wear something that's fashionable, if it is not modest, we need to say no. We have to prepare their hearts to seek the Lord. We have to. And there are times when we have to say no to participating in activities that do not promote the values that glorify God. We have to say no. It's going to be tough? Oh, yeah. Is it hard for ourselves sometimes? Absolutely. But we have to be prepared to say no. And we have to say it, and we have to practice what we preach by not compromising or abandoning our effort to serve God and Jesus Christ, because we have something greater to gain. I'm telling you, life is not where it's at. Jesus said, I've come to give them life abundantly, but he clearly says it's not these things on this earth. Now, he'll give us blessings and opportunities. And we need to be prepared to say no to the temptation to criticize the preacher or the class teacher when their biblical teaching reflects on a lifestyle that we may be practicing, that when we think about it, we really shouldn't be doing it. And rather than being critical, we need to be honest. And we just need to say ourselves, I've got to stop it. Without abandoning the effort, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul was committed to our Lord. He embraced his role as Christ's ambassador, which brought loss into his life. He accepted it because there was a hope far greater than what he lost in the life that he had here. As Christ's disciples, we need to accept losing certain aspects of life that are not in harmony with the values of Christianity. And we need to be teaching this perspective to our children, our grandchildren, and to our Christian friends by how we live in life. We must be ready to live for God. We must be ready to accept losing when necessary to glorify Him without abandoning, without compromising our Christian lifestyle, because there is a greater hope waiting for us. A greater hope. When you're young, it certainly is difficult to really grasp that greater hope because you think you've got a long life ahead of you. But let me tell you, when you reach 69 and 70 years old, you look back and you say, where did it go? It goes so fast. And as you edge ever closer to that time when you will realize that that hope is real, it's not a fantasy, it is real. You want to live a life and to have a life that reflects the values of Christianity. And at times we're going to make mistakes. We need to own up to them. We need to own up to them. We need not abandon what we have in Jesus Christ and not compromise. And it's a difficult lesson for all of us, myself included. It's a difficult lesson. It's difficult to live. It's difficult to practice. But it's one that we must practice. We must practice. If you're here today and you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, even at this, up to this point, we would encourage you to begin your life in Jesus Christ by first committing to Him. Yield your life to Him, understanding you are a sinner, understanding that you're not in Christ's kingdom until you've repented of your sins, until you've been baptized, immersed in water, and come up a new man, a new creature, ready to start a new life. And then be faithful. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10 says, be faithful unto death. Along the way we may make mistakes again, but 1 John chapter 1 tells us that if we confess our sins, God is willing to repent, is willing to forgive us if we repent. And just move on and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Continue to be stronger. Continue to illustrate that Christ is the center of your life. And if there's any other way we can help you, if we can pray for you, if we can help you in any other way, we'd ask you to let your wishes be known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.